Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Great service department and looking for more technicians. It's something you want to get into. Get in contact with our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Show up. Go to sunburymotors.com. Say, hey, look, I can do this. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
He was going across the field. Nobody was there with him. Instead, Wilson comes out, and now they will go. So they call timeout, and they're going to go 64 yards, and Seattle uses a timeout.
From 64, McManus missed it. And the Seahawks are going to win this game.
No good! No good! No good!
Yep, that's one game in the books. Didn't exactly inspire a lot of confidence on the Denver side. All right. By the way, Andy Burcham is going to join us tomorrow. He's the play-by-play voice of Auburn football.
We've had a couple big shows leading up to the big game. I like it.
And Dennis Dodd.
There we go.
They both feel that Shohei Ohtani should be the MVP.
Dennis Dodd does love his St. Louis Cardinals, though. I will say that. He is a big baseball fan.
Yes, he is. Yep. All right, let's get to Neil Coulonc. Sir, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
As always, it is great to be here. It feels like deja vu, though. This feels a lot like after week one last year.
Buffalo, special teams, this time five takeaways. It felt eerily the same.
It honestly, I mean, outside of the obvious differences, it was. I mean, it just they were 6.5-point road underdogs in both games. I know I didn't really give them much of a chance. And even at the end of the game, it's like, you know, to quote Apollo Creed, they won, but they didn't beat them. I mean, right. it was plus five in takeaways. You realize only like four teams in NFL history have ever won a game when they're negative five,
right?
That turnover differential. And Cincinnati could have won it at least twice.
Yeah.
If they have a long snapper, it goes to show you the value of a long snapper in the NFL. You could see, I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, but the velocity of the ball from the long snapper to the holder, it was half speed.
They played Chariots of Fire as it was going back.
Yeah, it was like, wow, that's just noticeably slow. And you feel terrible for the guy because they don't keep two long snappers, okay? The backup long snapper doesn't rep on that during the week or anything.
Right.
It takes a lot to do that well. And you see what happens when it doesn't go that way. I know that Cincinnati, you know, vouched for their guy and didn't want to throw him under the bus and said it would have been blocked anyway because, you know, the wing wasn't covered. That's absolutely not true. They had like a full second longer than normal to get in and block it because the snap was so slow.
Right.
And the second one obviously was bad. It shouldn't have kicked the ball. I mean, that's exactly why you kick on third down and not fourth.
Right.
You know,
yes.
You eat that snap and throw it in the ground or something. Try to kick it again. You don't try to attempt that kick. But it just, you know, gaffes, coaching mistakes. And Cincinnati beat themselves in that game. But beyond that, the Steelers beat the stripes off their offense. I mean, defensively, that's one of the more dominant performances you'll see from any team in the NFL. I mean, they were really charged up. They were really ready to play, but the offense was on the other side of it. There's a lot to unpack in this game, Steve. There's just a lot. I've watched it three times.
Yeah.
I still don't get it.
Well, Neil, let's get to Trubisky. He goes all the way in this game. He ends up being, quote, the winning quarterback in the game. How well did he play?
Putting quotes around that is appropriate. I thought he was bad. I was not impressed with his performance. I thought the first 10 throws on script probably okay. You know, he didn't, you know, as Mike Tomlin would say, urinate down his leg or anything. All right, this isn't bad. His second half was horrendous. I mean, he really played poorly. We can't look at everything in a results-based fashion, okay? So we can't just say, well, they won the game. It was good enough of an effort. Okay, well, then there's 53 guys that put up alleged winning football on Sunday. Was that the result that you really felt when you watched it?
Right.
That wasn't winning football at all. Trubisky, he was inaccurate all day, and a big compelling piece of evidence to look at in that is the fact they had, on non-screen passes, they had little to no yards after the catch until overtime, and in which case in overtime, he got what was essentially it was a free play. It was probably a throw he would not have made if it wasn't a free play, the one to Freiermuth that he caught and was able to get upfield. A risky throw and a smart decision considering it was a free play, but not one that you want him to make, all things being equal. And that's the one that kind of worked out. You might remember at one point they were in the red zone. He's flushed out to his right. He threw off his back heel across his body to the middle of the field for a jump ball situation with his 5'10 wide receiver. Absolutely no reason to ever make that throw. Unless the clock reads zero at the end of the game and you're losing.
Right.
I'm being probably kind when I say that gets intercepted 7 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
Really, really dumb idea. The one he ran off to his right, and I don't know what he was doing. He was trying to out-juke an NFL defensive back and, you know, at the sideline. Almost got caught from behind. It defied the laws of physics that there wasn't a fumble on that play. I don't know how Trey Hendrickson did not get a piece of the ball coming from behind.
Right.
But Trubisky just stood there, wasn't even aware that there was, you know, the potential of a guy coming from behind him. Complete lack of awareness. He took an own sack. Nobody remembers that either. He ran out of bounds 2 yards shy of the line of scrimmage early on in the game. He made a lot of very, very poor decisions in this game, and it was honestly, without being too dramatic, miraculous, in my opinion, that he didn't turn the ball over. That's not going to happen again. He has to play much better than he did, or it's going to be the Steelers turning the ball over 5 times. And I'm pretty sure if they do that, they're not winning the game because, well, you really don't do that throughout NFL history.
Yeah, that doesn't usually happen. And then there's T.J. Watt. Yep, it's another season where he's making a lot of money. When he plays, he is just tremendous. And there are too many days he doesn't play. Out again.
To keep going with the parallels from the last game, you might remember he was out early in week 2 against the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
He went down fairly quickly into that game. I remember you and I talking about that.
Yep.
He's going to miss this one. He's going to miss 5 others after that. I believe that's the current plan. We'll see how that goes, but he's going to be out for a little while, which is really too bad because he played a spectacular game.
Yeah.
Several players on the Steelers played spectacular games.
When he's available, he's great. The problem is the sentence start with when he's available.
Yep, and I've had this conversation with a lot of people. I even probably went too far on my podcast and suggested that I don't think Watt's going to get through the year without some type of fairly significant injury. And the reason I say that is not anything to do with him. It's just going up against history, pass rushers that play as often as Watt does and are able to be utilized in a lot of different ways the way that the Steelers use Watt, after that many reps, that many snaps, when you're built like that, you're going to break eventually.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's, you know, I think Watt dodged a bullet for the most part here. He's going to miss a pretty substantial amount of this season, but the Steelers will get him back, and that's great news for him. It's great news for the Steelers, but without him in there, oh boy, it's going to be tough. They don't have the offense to sustain much of a loss on defense, and now you're really looking at, you got to wrap up Cam Hayward, Minka Fitzpatrick, Alex Highsmith in bubble wrap. Those guys can't miss a down now. They're the depth that they built for this defense is probably in fear of that happening, of what has happened that quickly into the season. I think they'll be okay in some areas, but Watt came up with big play after big play after big play. And with all due respect to Malik Reed, he wouldn't have been available for a conditional seventh round draft pick if he was able to do that. So they're at a significant loss. You can't scheme around that. You've got to distribute, if you're lucky, 80% of his production. And you might be able to get away with that. But it's going to hurt, and I think we're going to see it. He's just, there are times that Watt makes plays that other guys don't make. And without the defensive player of the year in the field, you're not going to be the same defense. I mean, you know, it'd be a huge round of applause to Terrell Austin. His first game as defensive coordinator of the Steelers was an absolute gem.
Yes.
They don't get a whole lot better than that, considering the competition, considering the fact the Steelers scored 16 points on 13 possessions. They had to stand on their head for five quarters, and I thought they availed themselves very well for what they needed to do. It that hill is even higher now, and it's going to be tough. The prognosis isn't going to be good for them. If their defense isn't playing at that elite level, I don't see how they're going to win.
It's a pectoral muscle injury. I feel like in the last 10 years, after not hearing about this injury at all until about 10 years ago, it seems like it's the injury we hear about a lot lately. Does that have anything to do with how guys work out, how tight they are muscle-wise? I don't know. But what do you think? Because we hear more about this injury now in the last 10 years than the previous 50 combined.
It's like this. I went chasing for a feature story on this topic fairly recently in the last couple of years. A lot of it had to do with Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
Zion Williamson is one of the most, as Mike Tomlin would say, twitchy and explosive athletes that we've ever seen in professional sports.
No doubt.
At his size, it's almost unbelievable what he is able to do physically. I mean, I saw that man go from one side of the key to out close enough to the three-point line to block a corner three, and not just block it, but throw it about 13 rows up in the stands. The level of power that somebody has to generate to get out that quickly and to get up that high to block a shot like that, it's unparalleled. You just don't see that. What's been the story of Zion Williamson's pro career? Injuries.
Yeah.
This guy literally ran through his own shoe in college.
Right.
And he blew out his knee doing it.
Yep.
That's going to continue to happen. The human body, your joints can be strengthened, but it's not your joints that are causing massively powerful contractions. They just have to they have to hold it. Your joints are not usually that strong to handle that level of force to a certain degree. When you get into the uber twitched up guys, which is TJ Watt, you're going to tear things. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not a question of his conditioning. He's obviously a very highly conditioned athlete, very strong athlete. I'm certain with the amount of money that he's making, he's not just coming up with his own weightlifting routine. They're building him for sustainability over time. But when you're that strong and you're that powerful, those kinds of things happen. And I think the athlete over the 10-year time period that you mentioned, I think that the modern athlete has so many advantages in terms of scientific research, technology, that go into workout routines, that they can become vastly superior. But I don't think that many of them are genetically built to handle the added torque that playing professional sports at that kind of a level is going to put on their bodies. So they break down eventually. You see this in every sport too. And it's not just the pec tear, although I agree with you, there is a lot of that. It would naturally happen in football. It would make sense, but it seems like it does happen a lot more often. It's not because they didn't stretch out. It's just because guys like Watt in particular are so big and they are so muscular. They need that to be able to do what they do on the field, but eventually it's going to betray him. And again, it wouldn't surprise me if that's not the last injury that he has.
Yeah.
Something of a tendon related tear or something like that. Now, to be clear, it turns out he did not tear the tendon off the bone.
That's
which
right.
Is the variety of injury that would require surgery.
That's right.
But he did tear it up pretty badly. It's something that's going to keep him out for a little while. And it's also not something that you want to rush back. He's got to use that. He's got to have that flexibility. He's got to have that strength in order to play, really, to protect himself out there. So 6 weeks, you hope that's enough recovery time. I trust that they're going to do the right thing with it. But you got a lot of money invested in that guy. And re-damaging that now could put him out through training camp next year. So they've got to be careful with how they approach it and how they want him to recover and how quickly they want him back. Clearly, he wants to get back out there.
Yeah,
I don't fault him for saying that at all.
That's right.
As we know, his brother had the same injury in 2019. He came back after like 2.5 months, and he did have surgery. It's not necessarily I don't think you want to ever look at J.J. Watt as being the typical anything, you know.
Right.
So we'll see what happens with TJ, and certainly for the Steelers' sake, they need him back out there. But long term, they really can't push him that quickly.
Finally, how do you view the matchup with the Patriots, Neil?
I haven't had a great chance to look at the Patriots to this point, just because I'm still shocked over how the Steelers game Sunday
That's
turned out.
True.
But they're not going to be the same team from what we saw. They've got an injured quarterback. I don't know how good they are. I know this. Bill Belichick knows how, if anything, to beat fairly one-dimensional offensive teams. So the Steelers, I think I saw, were 1-point home favorites in their home opener. Not many times they've been favored by that little in their home opener. This is going to be a really tough one for them, though. I'm not sure how I feel about it at this point, but you put a backup quarterback in there, even without T.J. Watt, I think this defense has enough to really shut them down. I would think just on paper it'll be a pretty low-scoring game, but, one of the biggest rules of predicting football games is that the biggest variability between teams happens between week one and week two. So we'll see which versions of either of these teams show up. I don't think either one of them were particularly pleased with large chunks of their team in their week one games.
My friend, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil, by the way, has also contributed to the crop duster to get the suit to the Central Michigan game.
Oh, good. That was nice of him.
No, several of us have. You ever see the movie Major League?
I've seen bits and pieces. I haven't seen the whole thing fully.
Where they're taping up the prop? That's what we found.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Yeah. Suit's not a good flyer to begin with.
I can't say that shocks me.
Oh, he's a basket case. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WK.
Do you have a long field goal plan? Is that going to be Jake, or last year it was Stout? Just wondering how that shapes up.
The long
up as well.
Field goal, we're talking about game-winning field goals, is Sander Sahajdek, which is, I think, 52 yards or more.
And he can hit it, believe me. Huge leg. Huge leg. All right. And that'll be Saturday at 3:30 on, beginning at 2. Tomorrow, by the way, we will have on the show Andy Burcham, the play-by-play voice of Auburn. Dennis Dodds on the show tomorrow. Brad Nessler's on the show tomorrow. Thursday, we have Ernie Accorsi. Thursday, we have the King. Thursday, we have the Roundtable. So we have a lot going on the next 2 days. It is great to have you with us on the show today, sponsored by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's been heartwarming to see the GoFundMe page to get the suit to Central Michigan. We're up to $1.95.
I'll have to let them know.
Oh, well. It's actually more than I thought we'd get. All right, so great to have you with us on the show today. Penn State-Auburn coming up Saturday. Andy Bertram will join us tomorrow, the play-by-play voice of Auburn football. Brad Nessler tomorrow on the show. He'll be calling the game on TV. And... So they will be on the show tomorrow, and also Dennis Dodd on the show tomorrow. So we have a lot going on. And then on Thursday, Ernie Accorsi will join us. We'll have the roundtable and the Kings on. On that, another quiet day here at the ranch. All right. But the Yankees and Red Sox play tonight, is that right?
Yep, tonight and tomorrow.
Two-game series, huh?
Yep, at Fenway.
David Schoenfield. Is Aaron Judge's season better than Ruth in 27, better than Yastrzemski in 67? No and no. All right, what? Not the answer you wanted?
No, actually, I agree with that. I do.
Ooh, Garrett Cole's going to pitch tonight.
Yeah, it's Cole versus Nick Pivetta tonight.
Oh, that's great. The Red Sox are under 500. That's why he felt comfortable. Rays won today, by the way, 4-2. And they beat the Rays beat the Jays 4-2. Pirates won. They beat the Reds 6-1 first game of a day-night doubleheader. So there you go. Got a lot to get into with Dennis Dodd tomorrow. We do have to obviously get into... Yeah, are you surprised at all that all this expansion talk has stalled?
Of course not.
Why?
Because football's back. The on-field because product is back.
Because I told you it was going to stall. I said, it's just... You sit there and you see all these people come up with all these things about if we're going to have this pod and that division. It's like, oh, for goodness sake, stop wasting time. Right? It is a waste of time. Believe me. There's going to have to come a point, though, where there has to be a decision made. What is college sports? Excuse me. Is college sports socialism or capitalism? And that's what we had to find out. It is, right now it's been a mix of the two. And obviously what football does, and to a point, small point, basketball does, they fund all the other sports. I know there are a lot of Penn State fans over the years that have found that to be stunning because they see a mirage of a wrestling dual meet sold out and they think the wrestling program is making money. No. They see women's volleyball on a Friday night with a lot of people there, especially on a football weekend. They must be making money. No. They are both losing. I mean, women's volleyball is losing seven figures, and men's wrestling is losing between 600 and a million. Okay? So what is college sports? Is it socialism or capitalism? And with all the money that is pouring in, I mean, all the money that's pouring in from TV, is remarkable. And, you know, what are you going to do with it? And guess who's going to want a cut of it? The people that are going to want a cut of it are the players. And in a capitalistic society, they're the ones that are putting their backsides on the line, and that's where the money is coming from. Now, the system that they're under now has worked for a long time. You do have Title IX you have to deal with. You have, and that's why they've spread the money around for everybody. But at some point, you do have to ask that question. Do the players, are they entitled to be paid? I didn't say which way I would go on it, but I think it's a legitimate question. Especially if the college football playoff expands and doubles or triples in financial size. If it doubles and triples in financial size, same story. Do the players deserve a cut of the money? And again, I'm not saying whether they should or they shouldn't, because we all know what the college system has been like, and they're already getting a lot of money for their education to begin with. But these numbers are startling. Startling. And one of the keys is that when you look at the current system the way it is, everybody is being helped by it. But will we see a transition to more club sports and only a certain number of varsity sports, scholarship sports? I know that and you're still mad at CC Sabathia.
Yeah, I disagree with what he had to say about the AL MVP boat.
All he said was Shohei Ohtani's the best player.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all he said. And you became angry, irate, started yelling at the kids. It's sad. So let's start with the
Cubs.
Yeah, well, guess what? When he's with the Mets, it's going to be all sit, Junior. So do you root for the back of the jersey now? You don't root for the front?
Always the front. Always. That never changes.
So he bags you. What are you going to do?
Well, I at least have another jersey with the front end of it with no back end. So I have that for now, but then I'll have to find something else.
27, maybe?
No, I actually would probably go 65, actually.
All right, who's 65?
Nasty Nestor.
Oh, for God's sakes. I mean, he'll be out of the game in a year and a half. Jeez, come on. Flash in the pan. Already been hurt this year, right?
Yeah, it was one stint, though, on the IL.
Yeah, it won't be the last.
He goes tomorrow, by the way, in Boston.
Wow. These are your guys, huh?
They are.
So when there are first-round elimination, it's going to be, like, how angry are you going to get?
I don't know if I'll be angry, per se. I will be just more numb at that point because this is what I'm anticipating.
You'll be a basket case.
I mean, depends on what happens in that particular series, but I predict that I will probably just be numb because I see it coming.
Doug just pitched in another nickel. We're up to $2.
Oh, my almighty!
I'll let the suit know.
We care. That's what it comes down to. We care. I have no idea why he's not going. None. And then I tell you Barnett's out for the year and you were happy. I don't understand this stuff. Nick Sirianni, that's a big blow for us. You, on the other hand,
too many penalties and dumb mistakes.
36 tackles for loss in 65 games.
Yeah, and there's that too.
That's actually a good thing, right?
I'd still like to see more out of a first round pick.
Well, fourth round pick, Taron Jackson will take his spot.
Yeah, I like this kid. He had a good preseason, and I think he'll be a good addition.
I think there's a good chance he'll be invisible.
Maybe to start, but
maybe like forever.
Well, the one rookie that needs to play more is Jordan Davis.
He can't. It's too heavy.
Apparently, he cut his weight.
He was way too heavy before. Now he's just too heavy.
He played 32% of the snaps, 22 snaps total. Eagles allowed under 3 yards per carry when he was in there, 10 yards per carry when he was out, because they had the 5 defensive tackle rotation, which was dumb.
Did you watch him in Georgia?
I know the limitations.
He has no stamina.
I'm not saying he has to play every snap, but I think he needs to play.
I've been trying to tell you that.
I know. I know he has stamina issues, but I don't know. He cut his weight, and he needs to play more than 22 snaps.
But because it's your team, it's happy-go-lucky day.
I get it. He doesn't have to play 90 snaps a game, but I want him to play more than 22.
That may be all he's capable of. Maybe you should stop tapping out.
I don't think he tapped out, though. I think it was just part of the rotation. If he would have tapped out, someone would have said that. One of an Eagles beat writer, and I did not see that one time.
All I know is that felt like I was watching Rocky III. Sure are breathing heavy. I haven't even brought up Notre Dame yet.
I mean, they don't even deserve to be brought up, so let's just stop right there. Because they're an embarrassment.
Yeah. I'm sure Marcus Freeman is a good coach, really good coach. He's obviously been an excellent coordinator. But I always have felt that Notre Dame has had success when they have hired a coach with extensive head coaching experience. Lou Holtz, Brian Kelly. I think that when they have moved up an assistant or a Jerry Faust, they have struggled. Notre Dame is not on the job training.
And he looked like a deer in the headlights after the pick six in the fourth quarter.
But they don't. For one thing, they don't have an offense. They don't. They really don't. That's a big problem for them. The defense isn't bad, and that's his area of expertise. How anxious are you to see Cooper Rush play against the Eagles?
Well, based on today's report, I don't think that's going to happen. Cowboys look like they're going to get him back by week 5.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to be toast.
But here's the thing, though, with that. We go from 60. I mean, I guess things could happen. I mean, look at what T.J. Watt's situation is. But something tells me that the Cowboys are trying to rush him back. The Steelers are doing what they can with him and properly with T.J. Watt. I think the Cowboys are trying to rush Dak back because they know Cooper Rush will not help them win football games. But 8-injured Dak Prescott, I think is more of a liability for them, especially when a healthy Dak Prescott played the way he played Sunday night.
Nine times out of ten, what you fear for the injury on that night is not quite what it is the next day. Despite what you think. You have a lot of hate in you.
I just give you my honest opinion, as I always do.
Well, take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. See the Browns, what they put in the center of the field?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
They put the old football elf out there in the center of the field. See that?
That explains their entire offseason.
They have the same record you do.
Cool. We'll see you in a few weeks from now.
You hate when I point out facts?
Yeah, it was a good win on the road against Baker. Good for them.
And they're a little bit better than Detroit. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory-trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 630 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 630 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Game day on Saturday?
I did not, actually.
Oh, okay. I was kind of wondering how Pat McAfee did. Because obviously we're on the air, so I don't really...
Yeah, I did not get a chance to on Saturday.
Okay. We'll see how that... supposedly, you know, he was a breath of fresh air. And the, you know, I watched the highlights of the Texas-Alabama game. You know what makes Bryce Young really, really good? He's so calm, cool, and collected. Even when he's rolling out to make a play, you kind of feel like he is in charge of what's going on out there. Very even-keeled. Took off on that run. It really, very, very impressive. Very impressive. I don't know if he'll win the Heisman for a second year in a row, but give him credit. In the big moments, and Alabama is not in a lot of big moments because they usually have the game won earlier than that, he handled himself exactly the way you hoped a guy like that would handle the situation. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070, WKOK.